Can you tell me a little bit about your background and why you felt this was something that you could help to implement here?
Sure. My background is basically military. I was in the United States Air Force for 8 years. I was a Russian and Chinese linguist and had an amazing time learning the cultures of those different countries. But the highlight of my time in the military was when I went to survival school in Spokane, Washington, and had to learn how to survive out in the woods, what would happen if I was on a plane and crash landed in water, how to survive POW training, being a prisoner of war and interrogation, things like that. And that really woke me up to the importance of you never know what a day is going to bring forth. So why not be prepared mentally, physically? And then from there, that's kind of guided me. I got out in 98 and I've been doing fitness. I've been doing team building. I've been doing survival training. I've been doing all types of things, having to do outdoors and just helping people to be ready. I just think that's extremely important.
So this group's working to educate people here on how to prepare for natural disasters, mm-hmm. economic instability, and also how they can help their neighbors and their own families in a crisis situation. Can you give me some examples of how you prepare people for these kinds of things?
Sure. Basically, just to start off, we're still dealing with Hurricane Sandy victims on the East Coast, and that was a complete and total disaster. You can warn people, but people get inundated with so much information and so much media when they're trying to figure out how to survive day by day. It's not really at the forefront unless there's somebody that's close by that's really saying, hey, we need to really be prepared. What PEAT is basically something that history seems to show that those who are well prepared have a better outcome in the long run. So say, for instance, Switzerland, they knew before World War II happened that they needed to be ready. And they had strategically planned for their citizens to understand how to not only have guns, but to be prepared, how to protect their communities. And so in that, they were ready. And so from that standpoint, for us here in the North Fork Valley, in this area, there is extremely important avenues that we need to make sure that we're taking care of our community members in the event of an emergency. A lot of times when you hear about survivalists or preppers or things like that, it's more along the lines of an individualistic type of understanding. And that's not the case in terms of if you want to survive. If you do any study on people that have survived, it's usually been the communities that last the longest because there's strength in numbers. They're able to do support in terms of one person might not have a resource, another person might. They are able to take turns in terms of security, like watching a neighborhood, things like that. We're hearing stories that what happened in Bosnia, that those that survived were in neighborhoods, about 20 houses, and they all shared food, they shared housing, they shared security, and because of that, they were able to survive while their friends or other people in their nation or in their country wound up going down alone. And so for here in the North Fork Valley, we were asked to have a roundtable discussion with our local law enforcement. Because we see what's going on in the news. No one, unless your head is in the sand and you're not really watching what's going on in our nation right now, realize that, wow, we have some instability in our economy. We have some instability in our job force. We have instability as far as food is concerned. We have instability in our environment. And so with all of those seemingly coming together for a perfect storm, what would happen if an emergency happened? How would it affect us, and how can we be proactive in order to deal with that? So we had a roundtable discussion with our sheriff of Delta County, Chiefs Scott Leone, our sheriff Fred McKee. We had our emergency management director, Rob Fiedler. We had a FEMA contractor, Hugh, who works here at, and I love Hugh. And then we had the town clerk for Peonia, Barbara. And so we were just asking important questions of what do we do as a community? How can we come along and support our local law enforcement? If something were to happen that was really huge, what kind of resources would you need? And how can we as a community, instead of just sitting back and letting you all take the lead in that, how can we come together with you and work?
And when you say something huge, what are you talking about, really?
So when I'm talking about huge, like say, for instance, the big thing that is everyone's radar right now is forest fires, wildfires. That's huge. So all it takes is one spark to start off a fire, and then it spreads depending on the wind direction and how dry it is in the North Fork Valley. That has been the number one concern. And so our goal isn't to be firefighters. Our goal is to be a resource in saying, okay, what exactly it is that you need, because you all are going to be busy trying to fight the fire. Do you need food? Do you need blankets? Do you need people to help shuttle people back and forth? What exactly do you need? And that's what Pete wants to be able to do for our local officials. What would happen if, like, say, for instance, there was a catastrophic EMT blast, basically electromagnetic pulse or EMP, excuse me, what would happen to this area if all the electronic equipment went down? So you're talking about people on dialysis, you're talking about people with certain types of issues that they have to deal with on a day-by-day basis. How do we help them? Mm-hmm. How do we get the word out? That type of thing. And then what would happen in the event of an economic fallout? Our economy completely crashes. What do you think is going to happen when people from the city say, hey, we can't get food here? Where are they going to go? So we need, as a community, in terms of talking with local law enforcement officials, fire department, police department, that kind of thing, as far as how can we help and support you? What can we do in the event of any of these emergencies to be your support, instead of trying to dictate how they're supposed to do their job, if that makes sense? Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that we're involved and a help and not a hindrance.
Right. And so it sounds like a lot of what you must be doing is building networks. Mm-hmm. So you would know who to call and how they would assist, right, in a situation like that. Mm-hmm. So can you tell me a little bit about who are you networking with?
Well, what's
amazing, besides law enforcement?
Right. I want to say that law enforcement is extremely important. And the reason why I say that is because when I was on the East Coast, and I lived in Maryland for 11 years, if you mention the police in the major city of Baltimore, they're not your friends, supposedly. Mm-hmm. You don't trust the police. That's not something that you do, because they're not there for you, it seems. In a smaller community like Peonia, everyone knows everyone. And so it's in our best interest to have community relations, not only with our local police, but with our EMTs, with our fire department, with everyone that's involved, because we're a community. And since we know each other, the support is really important, because there's a vested interest in those within law enforcement to have support, because their families are here, mm-hmm, just like our families are here. They're not detached like in a big city and you live in a spread out area. We all pretty much know each other. So we're networking with the fire departments here, like Hotchkiss and Peonia Fire Department, Crawford, we're talking with them. We're also talking with the sheriff, and making sure that he understands that we're not some sort of rogue military group that's trying to form. We're just a bunch of citizens that care and we want to support. And I think that's been the biggest change in the rhetoric, trying to bring the rhetoric down. Because I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the news talking about one side versus the other side, or these cops did this to these people, or these people did this to these cops. That's not conducive in an emergency. Our goal is that we don't care where you are on the spectrum in terms of where you stand. Our goal is to try and work together as a community. Mm-hmm. And so those relationships, that's what we're trying to build right now.
So if something goes down, can we call you and you'll tell us what to do, Calvin? Is that how it works?
Well, the great thing about that is that we're trying to be a go-between in terms of, unless it's a real emergency and you need to call 911. We're not going to short circuit that. What we want to do is make sure that those officials that are responding to those emergency calls are calling us and saying, hey, Calvin, we need Pete to help out with directing traffic here. We need Pete to be able to help with the amount of people that want to help. Because a lot of times here in a small community, people want to help. The last incident that I was told about was a fire up on Rogers Mesa at a particular home. And the call went out for blankets. And a lot of blankets came out. But what happened was is that there wasn't a person to be able to help set that up. So that way, that person can be
distributing them,
taking care of them. But those that were dealing with the fire, the problem is that they're too busy trying to make sure that it doesn't jump to other people's houses. And so if there are a lot of people that are coming up, then it's keeping them from actually doing their job. So what would happen is that the fire department, police department say, hey, Calvin, we have a lot of people that want to help. Can you help direct with your crew things that can be done, whether it's bringing them food, blankets, that type of thing, and have a staging area so that way we can do our job? And we've given them our numbers, which is 970-773-7553. And then we have our email at northforkpete@gmail.com.
So anyone in the community can just join you if they're interested and want to be a part of this community group that will assist in emergency situations.
That's correct. The goal is to get the word out to the community. The community can join us. We have different leaders and different organizational structure in terms of like planning, logistics, bringing out information like a public information officer, operations. We have people that are in charge of those areas, and then those people would get in touch for that specialty of, say, for instance, a person says, hey, Calvin, what I can do is I can help with transportation. That's great. I have a person in operations that can sit down and talk with you and tell you, hey, this is what we're looking to try and have. Do you happen to have vans? Do you happen to have ATVs? Do you have possible generators that we might be able to use? Do you have a large warehouse where we could possibly keep a few people here and there, or can stash some or hold on to some sleeping bags for those that are going out in the field and coming back and might not be able to have time to go find a hotel? Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So people can call and be able to share their expertise.
And again, that number is
970-773-7553.
Great. And can you tell me what some of the challenges are that you've come up against trying to organize this?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because our time in terms of getting the word out and talking with people, the North Fork Valley is a very eclectic place. There are different schools of thought. There have been farmers and ranchers here that have been here for years. There are those that love their country and nation in terms of showing patriotism in different areas. There are those that have views that may be considered liberal, and then there are those that are conservative, and then those that are a little bit noncommittal. So there's a small town with different varying ideas, and being able to find something that we all can agree on has been really interesting in terms of, okay, how do we work together? I understand that you don't like this, and you don't like A, and this person doesn't like B, and you probably might not be able to stand each other. However, what is something that we can agree upon so that we, in the event of emergency, that we can work together and put aside our differences? That's been the biggest challenge that I've noticed. A lot of people are very concerned because they see what's going on in the world. I mean, I don't have to be the bearer of bad news. I don't have to share what's going on. The news does that on a regular basis. So there are questions that people have. They want to make sure that we're not some sort of paramilitary group that's coming in and trying to run roughshod over our local law enforcement.
Get an arsenal together somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. We're not looking to try and do that. I'm not looking to create my own or create our own community. Our goal is to work with those that are here, because people that are here know the area. They understand what's going on. They've been here for years. And so because of that, there is a pool of information and resources that are here that people have. And those that want to work together can help Pete be a great organization that, in the event of emergency, I'm not going to sit there and try to debate with a person why they believe A when I believe B. I'm just going to want to say, hey, do you have enough food? Do you have enough water? Are you warm? Do you have shelter? What can we do to make sure that we can support you?
What have you found to be the weakest link here as far as preparedness, and what are we doing well? What do you think our strengths are as a community?
The weakest link that I see is rumors. Rumors are what break up a community. And unless a person can actually go in and talk with the individual and get clarification, there's a rumor, then it destroys the integrity of a group trying to accomplish a goal. If we can get rumors under control and actually find out what's going on instead of playing the telephone game that he said, she said, that the Martians are invading tomorrow, then that would be phenomenal in terms of, I think, is being able to keep from things spiraling down. I think as a group that we need to make sure we communicate. I think that's the weakest link for right now. Otherwise, that's the first one. The second thing is that to be careful that it can't happen to me, that approach of saying, well, I'm in the North Fork Valley. There's really nothing that can happen here. Almost like a false sense of security, being careful about that. Because a lot of times, most people don't wake up in the morning saying, you know what, I'm going to have an accident today. Or, oh, you know what, I think I'm going to have a car crash. Or, oh, something bad is going to happen to me, and I'm just going to be, I'm going to be looking for that. That's not what a lot of people think. Most of the time, people are trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to make it today? What do I need to do? How do I get food on the table? How do I take care of my kids? How do I take care of my needs? That type of thing. And so having a sense of not dwelling on something bad happening, but being prepared and having a situational awareness that in the event of something were to happen, I have my goals, I know what I need to do, and then it just works mm-hmm. from there.
And what do you think our strengths are?
The strengths of this community are the amount of people that are here that have such amazing knowledge, whether it's food, whether it's homesteading, whether it's ham radio operators. I am so blown away with the amount of wisdom and information that's here in this valley. It's amazing to me that in Paonia, Colorado, that there are professional people that have done things like this from all over the world that seem to come here. And it's beautiful, obviously. It's a nice area. There's a lot of food that's grown here. It's pristine. This community really cares about the environment and not wanting things to come in, like big companies to come in and mess up either water or the food or the air. This community really understands the importance of taking care of the land. That is, I say, the biggest asset that's here in this community, is that when there's a major situation that does come, the people do rise up and they do work together, which is amazing to me.
And what can community members do to be more involved and take part in this process and develop it or change it if they feel so inclined?
I think the biggest thing is getting the word out and letting the community know that even though Pete is here as an organization, it doesn't mean that they have to join us. The biggest thing is getting conversation and talking about, hey, what would happen in the event of? I was told that a number of years ago that before TVs came into this community, that people were outside, that they were meeting with their neighbors and they were communicating and talking and they had a relationship with their next door neighbors. And everybody was doing things outside. If the one thing that people could do was do that again, turn off the TV, get rid of the phones, get rid of the electronic stuff, and get to know your neighbor, get to know your community. Do you know that person that might be on dialysis in your community? Do you know that person that might be that might have a little problem as far as moving around, getting around? In the event of emergency, can you help them? Do you know what they would possibly need during that time, how to take care of them? You might not need to be with Pete, or you might have some skills that you might be able to give to Pete, but do you have a group of about 7 to 8 people that you know in your community that in the event of emergency, you can call them and make sure, hey, are you okay? Do you need anything? That would be the best thing. If Pete could do that, that would be icing on the cake for us.
And I've been speaking with Calvin Evans, who is the organizer of the People's Emergency Action Team. It's a fairly new group that's come together to prepare for emergencies in our community and to also preserve our way of life here.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Calvin.
You are very welcome, Allie. Thank you.